welcome to each one this morning, and we greet you in the name of Jesus, whom we do it so often, sort of in a lighthearted way. We don't think about what we're saying. Brother Elvin asked you to pray for him this coming week, and I was going to ask you to do that too for him, if you would. I don't know if, when I'm standing up here, if you think of Jerry and you think of Elvin, you don't do that when you think of Tommy, I'm sure. But I don't know if we come across as being arrogant, self-confident, and I'm not saying that in a bad way, that this is a piece of cake to get up here and preach. If I do, it's not a correct assessment what you're seeing. The week of is always heavy. It's on your mind. Everything else is secondary. Any other thought process, for me anyhow, and I would say Brother Elvin's probably the same way, any other thought process is really just short-circuited. So we do really mean that when we say, would you pray for us as we prepare to preach? So often I feel just, how am I going to get this across? How am I going to be able to say what God wants me to say? So I'd like a raise of hand from somebody who would be willing to pray for Elvin this week. Just one or two. Okay. Okay, every one of you that raised your hand, I would like you to be sure to pray for Elvin this week, but then would you also text at least one other person sometime in the course of this week and ask them if they would pray for Elvin as he studies and anticipates sharing God's word. I don't think that's too much. I think most of you are pretty texty, so I think that can work. If you don't want to text, even a phone call would probably be okay too. So God bless you as you participate in next Sunday's message. And Brother Elvin will be, Lord willing, sharing the next two Sundays. So he'll be doing two messages in a row again, just like I have done here. Again, we're going into Ephesians, and I'm trying to get to the end of Ephesians, and it's slowly getting here this morning. If you will turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, and I want to read verses 10 through 20. We have up there through the end of the chapter, but I'm just going to read Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. And those of you, if you can, would you please stand as we read God's word this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Thank you. You may be seated. Backing up, just to reiterate a little bit from last week, I shared on the master and the bondservant, employer. And I just want to, again, throw out some of these points that I said yesterday just real quickly, just in order that they refresh in your mind again of what I shared last week to kind of to lock it in again. I had said there was five things that a servant or an employee owes to him or herself. And those five things, the first one was religion, the second one was regard for truth, the third one was sobriety, the fourth one was chastity, the fifth one was frugality. And as I think of these five things, every one of those things can be accomplished without being a believer in Jesus Christ. You can have religion without being a Christian. You can have regard for truth without being a Christian. You can be sober. You can not get drunk without being a Christian. You can be morally pure in your conduct, in your sexual conduct, without being a Christian. You can be frugal. You can be a spendthrift. You can be wise with money without being a Christian. But as we look at these five things, there's probably not an employer around that would not very much gravitate to potentially hiring an employee that would have high regard for all five of these, or have high regard for at least as many as possible, as many of these things as he can find out in the workplace of looking for an employee. And then, as we said, these are things that, as an employee, you partially owe it to your master, to your employer, to have some of these characters in your life. But it says, by your non-performance of these character traits in your life, the worst person that you're damaging is yourself. And so, as we look at this, even aside from being a believer, when we apply God's principles in our lives, they work. They won't get you to heaven. They won't bring salvation into your life. But God's principles work even in a non-believer's life. Today, we want to look at being prepared for battle. And this morning, I'm only going to go through verse 13, I believe it is. I'm not even going to get into what the different pieces of armor are. I just felt like if I tried to, there's no way that I could even begin to get through it. So we'll go right up to that, and we'll address the armor a little bit, but we won't go into any detail this morning. You've heard the story probably. It's a joke, of course, of the man who went into the hardware store. He bought a chainsaw. He had 100 trees to cut down. He made sure the blade was sharp, had a brand new blade on it, of course. He took it out. The next day he came back, and he was very upset. He said, "You told me that this chainsaw could cut down 10 trees in an hour. He said, "I worked all day long, and I didn't get the first one cut." He said, "You did not speak the truth to me." The hardware man looks at the chainsaw and poured some gas into it and pulled the choke, and it fired up. The man was amazed. He looked at him and said, "What's that noise?" Laugh. So often I think we struggle in our Christian life. So often we wonder, where is God? Why are things not working out for me? Why do I feel this way? Why is all this happening to me? And why do I feel so alone? And it comes down to it so often that I have not availed myself of the power, which is the gasoline in the chainsaw in the story. The power of God, the power of Christ being able to work in and through me as I live my life, as I go through my struggles. Verse 10 says, finally, my brothers. So what he's saying here is, I also want to tell you this at the end here, but this is not a least important thing. But he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I want you to turn, if you would, again to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we just want to read those couple verses. And you've heard me quote these verses and preach from these verses before. But I can't help but come back to this. Because this passage in 2 Peter 1 is so on target for what we need as God's people. He says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by his glory and virtue. His divine power, it says, has given us everything we need for life and godliness. We should never, ever bemoan the fact that we don't have the power, because it says his divine power has given us everything we need. But you know what? You cannot fill a chainsaw with gasoline and go out and cut 100 trees with it. You can fill a chainsaw with gasoline and you can go out and cut maybe 5 trees with it or whatever. But you will run out of gas. You will have to repower, give it something that it can function. He has given us everything we need through his power in our lives, but it's through our knowledge of him. And I think this is simply saying through our continued knowledge of him, through our continual input of who he is from the power and the strength of his word as we ingest it into our mind, into our spirit. It says, verse 4, by which we have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There is not a one of us here, as we stop and look at our lives, that do not want to escape, that is, that we want to get away from the ungodliness, from the wickedness, from the struggles, from the falling down that I face in my life, from... And it's right here. We have it, but so often we don't avail ourselves to it. And it's easier for me to go out and talk to someone about it, how much I'm struggling, than it is so often than just to get into God's word and to receive that strength and that power through our knowledge of who he is and what he has designed us and how he wants us to live. Verse 11 there in Ephesians says, put on the whole armor of God. It does not say put on the armor of God, but it says put on the whole armor of God. And again, this morning, we won't even get into all the different pieces of the armor, but it says that we are to put on the complete armor of God so that we may be able to stand against the wiles of Satan. Put on the whole armor of God. And as I understand it, if you think of the armor that that they had in back in the Old Testament days, they were fully protected. But it took every piece of armor. As I understand it, the breastplate covered front and back, but I don't think it covered the sides. But that's what you had your shield for, because you were always facing the enemy and you had this shield that was protecting. But one thing the armor did not do that really struck me was that if I'm like this, I'm a sitting duck. You will get to me with your darts, with your arrows. If I've got my back to you, I am not protected. The armor, as I understand it, only protected your front as you were facing the enemy. James 4, he says, to resist the devil and he will flee. So often, we want to flee from the devil and think he's going to resist. It ain't going to work. When we flee, he's going to chase. But when we stand, and that's why I think Paul here is saying so many times that after you've done everything to stand, then stand. But it's hard to stand sometimes when your knees are shaking, and it's hard to stand when you have no idea what's going to be coming at you. You've got to have faith in that armor, and you've got to have faith that that shield is going to protect from anything that could come at me. And maybe if it's a brand new shield, I haven't ever used it, I don't even know that it's going to work. But I've got to be willing to walk by faith and say, this is what my Lord, my Savior has designed for me. This is what he has outfitted me with. And he's told me to put on the whole armor. I have the whole armor, and I'm standing and I'm facing the enemy. But I'm doing it by faith. I'm not doing it because I've got so much confidence in my own strength. And brothers, you know what it's like. If you would do like you would feel so often, you would turn around and you would run. That's the way we would want to do. So it takes us meeting together as brothers and sisters, as sitting down and looking at God's word and seeing what it says. And God says, if you do this, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. But if you do this, this will happen. And so often the things that God's word tells us to do, it seems like, oh, but I don't know. That doesn't really seem like it's going to make a lot of sense to do that. But are we willing to take a stand of faith? But having done all to stand, having put on the whole armor so that we're protected all the way and having this shield. And it also means when we have this shield, we're awake. We're not sleeping. We're alert. We are thinking that there is an enemy. And brothers and sisters, I'm so afraid that in the country that we live in, and maybe even in the day and age that we live in now, we've gotten to the point to where Donald Trump is now president. But we were saved by the bell. Wow. Think of how it could have been if Hillary Clinton would have been president. And we sort of put down like, wow, this is our knight in shining armor. I don't know that that's true, brothers and sisters. I don't know because I don't know the future. But I think sometimes we take and we want certain things to happen, and when those things happen, then we're like, whew, now I can relax. Be aware, because that's when Satan will come at you. That's when Satan will gain his inroads into your life, when we think that we're protected, when we think that we're safe. Put on the whole armor of God, verse 11 says, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Who can tell me, real quick, like, what would your definition be of the word wiles? W-I-L-E-S. Anybody? What? Schemes? Yeah. Somebody else? Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, yep. I don't know, but that we've probably done ourselves a disservice by visuals, even of maybe children's books, of teaching our children about good and bad, about God and the devil. But I think we'd be wise to make sure that we don't portray the devil as being this red-faced, two-horned, glowing eyes type of an individual, but more so that he is an angel of light. That's how he comes to us as. He's not an angel of light, but he is the master craftsman of deception, of lies, of scheming, of trickery. It's not going to be that easy to detect it. And can I even say this, brothers and sisters, that it's one of those things that you're not even good enough on your own. You say, well, what do you mean? I'm saying even as a Christian, you're not good enough. Because my Bible says that we need each other as brothers and sisters. We need each other to hold each other accountable. We need each other to challenge us. And so when I say, well, I've got Jesus, and that's all I need, no, it's not. Because you're not taking the whole scripture. Jesus said, in order to have me and to be effective, then we need each other. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. We're to look out for each other. Sometimes we call it minding each other's business. We say, you know, why don't you mind your own business? Well, as you being my brother, you being my sister, my business is your business. It is your business for you to watch my life. It is my business to watch your life. Not to see if I can find fault in you, but to make sure that Satan is not getting a grip and not getting one of his schemes on your life. Verse 11. Go to verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It seems so often when someone comes against me, I take it as me against you, me against them. But our battles so often aren't other people, but it's the spirit world. It's the world of darkness, of Satan's schemings, of his wickedness, of his ungodliness, of trying to trip us, of trying to set us up for failure. We're fighting against the spirit world. And again, brothers and sisters, we cannot do it on our own. But we must give careful thought as to why we do what we do, and give careful thought as to what we do. Everything we do, we say sometimes, oh, well, it's nothing. Maybe the things that I'll allow myself, maybe the things I allow myself to watch, maybe the things that places I allow myself to go. How serious am I about wanting God's power in my life? How serious am I about wanting to be victorious in the way that I live? That I don't want Satan to gain an inroad into my life. Principalities and powers. This would have the connotation of maybe people in high places. Maybe people that we would want to trust. Maybe that, like, this is our salvation. This is our hope for us, for what I need. And we get all caught up in the kingdom of this world. Against the powers. There's so much out there. There's rulers of the darkness of this age. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age. And when you think of something, again, a ruler of darkness of this age, it's not going to be something that you really have to work hard to attach yourself to, but it's something that doesn't appear as darkness. It doesn't appear as something that would be detrimental to you, but it appears as something that would maybe give you a happier, more fulfilled, more glamorous, whatever. But we have to be careful and understand that Satan is a master craftsman of deceit, of trickery. Spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. highly refined, sublimed evil, is what one person said. But it's disguised in a garb of truth. False teachers. We think that we'll recognize false teachers, again, because there's just blatant heresy. There's just blatant false teaching. But brothers and sisters, false teachers are people and teachers who teach truth. That is almost completely truth. It's just a little bit false. And it might not even be the first time when you hear them speak that there's any falsehood in it. But as they gain your trust, and it can't even be someone who's a false teacher thinks that they're speaking truth. But when you compare it to God's word, that's where we have to go back to. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3 says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which comes envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means to gain. From such, withdraw yourself. How many times am I more concerned with being nice and to not hurting somebody's feelings or not to offend somebody, and I listen to what they have to say, when I know that there's questionable things going on? Brothers and sisters, I think it's okay. I know it's okay for us to take God's word, and if it does not line up with his word, we are under no obligation to hear and to listen to someone if it comes against what God's truth in his word tells us. Period. The wicked, we look all around us and we think of how ungodly the world is and of the wickedness, and how can God even look down on us and even not destroy us? But brothers and sisters, I don't think that the wicked and the ungodly that are so visible around us are really our big problem. But it's the ones who are righteous, almost. Righteous, almost. Just with a little touch of untruth that is not backed up on God's word. Those are the ones that we have to be so careful with. Good people. There's lots of good people, but we have to come back to God's word. Verse 13, and I'm going to be done here. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Notice, again, he says, take up the whole armor of God, the whole armor, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Brothers and sisters, if that was ever for a future time, it's no longer for a future time. It's for now. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says, but today is also that evil day. Today is a day that we need to stand. It's okay to say no. It's okay to come against Satan and his tactics. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor. Because of what I told you previously is what he's saying in that word, therefore. Therefore, because of what I told you in these previous verses, you have to stand and take your whole armor with you, not your partial armor. Partial armor is almost as good as no armor. It's almost probably, maybe it's worse than no armor, because if you have partial armor, you feel like you're somewhat protected. Therefore, you're more vulnerable. But I think it's not by accident that God's Word tells us that we are to take the whole armor and to stand. We are not to run, but we're to stand. And then, lastly, in verse 14, he says, stand, therefore. I think he's trying to tell us something about planting my feet and like, no, I'm not moving. I'm not backing up. I'm not giving in. This is where I am planted based on God's word. And I will not bow. I will not give in. I will not back up. And brothers and sisters, it seems like it's getting worse and worse with the ungodliness around us, to where we are made to look like fools for what we stand for. That you could do this and this. You don't have to be as rigid as you are, and you could still be a Christian, really. And maybe you can't be a Christian and be that way. But we know that the Bible tells us to stand. And it to me, it gives a picture of being planted, of being firmly rooted and grounded and being ready and watching for anything that could come at me. The armor is your waist. You've got truth around your waist. Your breastplate is God's righteousness. Not your righteousness, but God's righteousness. Your feet, you're shoed up. Maybe you've even got things coming up here, but with the gospel of peace. Not only are we standing, but we're also giving, and we're telling, and we're witnessing, we're letting people know why it is we're standing. And then the shield of faith that's constantly moving to where the enemy is. And the helmet of salvation that protects your head. And the sword of spirit, the sword of the spirit. The sword of the spirit. I thought it was interesting. Sword is S-W-O-R-D. If you take the S off, you've got word. Our sword is this. Our sword is the word. Anything that doesn't line up with this is not a sword. The true word of God is the only thing we have. It's the only thing that will stand against anything Satan in his wily ways can throw at us. And we can't do it on our own. We've got to be entrenched in God's word, and we've got to be fully armored. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Father in heaven, this morning we thank you for again giving us of your word that we can think on. God, I pray that you would take these verses, these words from Scripture, and you would implant them in our minds. God, I pray that through the message this morning that we would be more resolute to stand, to be more into your word, to be firmly planted. Would you be with us as we leave from this place? Help us, God, to be effective in your kingdom. Keep us in your care, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Y'all are dismissed.